Get job ready today at Shasta College. Whether you're interested in accounting or agriculture, automotive or nursing, or any of our many other career trainings, our in-demand programs will give you the skills you need for a fulfilling and exciting future career. Planning to transfer? Start here and complete your first 2 years. Then transfer to a CSU or UC with guaranteed placement. And the best part is, all full-time students get 2 years tuition for free. Choose the class format that works for you. In-person, online, hybrid, or 8-week accelerated courses designed for busy adults. You may even qualify for up to $4,000 per semester through our 15 to finish program. Restrictions apply. See a counselor for details. Fall semester begins August 18th, so don't wait. Enroll today at ShastaCollege.edu or call 530-242-7650. Your success starts at Shasta College.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
Changing that psychology, recognizing that actually good jobs that pay high wages, that's an output of the economy. That's one of the things we need our markets to do. Can be very powerful in helping us think about, okay, therefore, what kinds of policies do we need if we want our markets to do that?
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Orrin Cass, chief economist at American Compass and editor of the recent book, The New Conservatives, Restoring America's Commitment to Family, Community, and Industry. We'll go in-depth with Orrin about that book later on in today's program. First, we will hear excerpts from Victor Davis Hanson's commencement address at Hillsdale College in March of 2025. Victor Davis Hanson is Wayne and Marcia Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College, also a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. Victor Davis Hanson gave the commencement address at the 173rd Commencement Ceremonies at Hillsdale, May 11th, 2025. It's titled Honor, Tradition, and Optimism. Dr. Hanson began the commencement address by noting Hillsdale's principled stand in its independence from federal influence, and he introduced the themes of his address, honor, tradition, and optimism. He began by outlining and discussing the value of honor.
You, the graduating class, have been instructed in, absorbed fully, and will pass on thus a code of honorable conduct that has become a natural, not a forced part of who you are, and it will remain with you in the long road ahead. Hillsdale has taught you not to worry if you are not one with the current majority of youth, because you are certainly one with most of the past and future generations, and your confidence in your code of ethical comportment and personal standards will help guide future cohorts and the nation itself to come. Because your values are real, they're permanent, and they are ancient, you will not be won over by others who justify their lapses of behavior by situational ethics. Victimization are the fads of the time. You see, without such individual vows of honesty and compassion for others, civilization in its aggregate cannot be sustained. It descends otherwise into the age-old banes of tribalism, disunity, and chaos. Students at Hillsdale do not steal bicycles because their personal code of honor will forbid it, because they have concern that the poor victim would suffer without his property, and because they know that if many did just that, then their own culture and civilization would crumble, as indeed it has in many places in America today. Much of our society's current crisis derives from this personal inability to respect the property of others, to tell the truth, to stand up to the bully, to protect the weaker, and to end each day in contemplation that you were more a moral force for the common good than either a neutral observer or even on the wrong side of the moral ledger. When individual behavior and decorum falter, so does a country, which is, after all, only the common reflection of millions of its individuals.
We're listening to excerpts from Victor Davis Hanson's commencement address at Hillsdale College in May of 2025. He continues by addressing the power and necessity of tradition.
The character of the Hillsdale student is nurtured and ingrained by tradition. That word is derived from the Latin noun traditio, a transmission or a handing down something from the past to the present to the future. So often in this current age of presentism, we in our narcissism and arrogance confuse our amazing technical and material success with automatic moral progress. However, we seem unaware that thinkers of the past, dating back to the poet Hesiod 2,700 years ago, worried about just the opposite. With material progress and greater wealth often comes moral regress. Given the greater opportunities to gratify the appetites with perceived fewer consequences, and to use sophistry to excuse the sin. So too, without traditional reverence for the past, an ungrateful nation suffers not just knowledge lost, but is plagued by hubris, which is so often the twin of ignorance. And thus it believes that it alone has discovered ideas and behaviors unique to themselves and their own era when they are in fact ancient. This mindset seeks heaven on earth perfection instead of the good, and thus it obtains neither. Are we not the sum total of all those who came before us, who for the most part here in America left us a system, a constitution, and an infrastructure that allowed us to start our own lives materially and safely far ahead of those elsewhere and our own generations prior? And key to this new endangered idea of reverence for the past is a necessary warning that it is neither fair nor just to dismiss those of earlier generations by the standards of the present. Instead, we must remember that those in a pre-modern society were so often captives of illness and short lives. Work so often was synonymous with physical danger and existential drudgery. And yet our predecessors were able to endure that suffering and challenges that we can now even cannot even scarcely imagine. The Hillsdale reverence, this rare reverence on this campus for the Western tradition and the American past, is a reminder not so easily to condemn and erase the dead, lest you and your time shall be judged capriciously by future generations and found wanting.
Finally, in his commencement address at Hillsdale College this year, Dr. Victor Davis Hanson talks about optimism as a civic and cultural force.
Your generation is now witness to a counter-revolution. There's a counter-revolution unfolding of sorts where millions of your Americans are asking their culture and society to re-examine their behavior and to restore the ancient decency and to look for the good of the past generations and not judge them, as I said so cavalierly. Critical to this restoration is your optimism. That is the child of gratitude for all that we have inherited and all that we wish to enhance and to pass on to others not born. With optimism and confidence of the citizenry, a civilization grows, not shrinks. It becomes secure, not depressed or self-loathing. And it looks forward to the future with reverence for the past rather than ashamed of it. It is now chic to be moody and pessimistic, but uncool to be upbeat and cheerful. But the strength of this country, even in the darkest days of April 12, 1861, or December 7, 1941, or September 11, 2001, has always been its singular ability to remain not just unshaken, but confident in its values, in its unity, and its inherent strength to overcome all challenges. In this current counter-revolution that we are witnessing, an effort admittedly divisive to so many, it is not the duty nor the desire of Hillsdale to become a political player. Nonetheless, the nation looks for guidance, answers, and reassurance of the old wisdom. And therefore, it is only natural, as I said, that the college and its moral and intellectual architecture have become preeminent in a fashion scarcely imaginable in the past. So you, the class of 2025 as Hillsdale graduates, will be asked by your peers in America to provide guidance as never before. And I am confident by your education, by your code of comportment, by your reverence for the past, and by your optimism, you will become natural leaders and exemplars in whatever path you follow. In your era to come, that will be, I think, America's greatest renaissance, but also its most decent. Thank you, and may God bless you all.
That was Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, Wayne and Marcia Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College, Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution. You can view this entire commencement address at Hillsdale College's YouTube page. Up next, Orrin Cass, editor of the new book, The New Conservatives. We'll talk with him next. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We welcome our listeners in Detroit, Michigan at WDTK AM 1440 and FM 92.7, The Answer. And also our listeners in Elmira, New York at WLNL AM 1000, The Bell. Thank you for tuning in to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. We're joined by Orrin Cass. He is chief economist at American Compass. You can find more at americancompass.org or also at commonplace.org. He's on X at Orrin_Cass. Orrin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Also, the editor of the brand new book, The New Conservatives, Restoring America's Commitment to Family, Community, and Industry. And I wanted to ask two things. One is, this book is centered around the fifth anniversary of American Compass. So what's American Compass, for people who don't know, and who are the new conservatives? Meaning, are they old liberals, are they old independents, people who weren't paying attention to politics? Who are these new conservatives?
Good question about who the new conservatives are. Briefly about American Compass, we're a think tank that was founded, 5 years ago, at the beginning of 2020, basically in response to everything that was happening on the right of center in conservatism. You know, it was most of the way through Donald Trump's first term. He had obviously disrupted the, what I would call the old right, the sort of Reagan-style Republican Party. Certainly it seemed clear to me that we were not going back to that old version and should not go back, that there were a lot of problems in the country that the old consensus was not addressing. But if you looked around at the institutions, you know, the think tanks, the publications, congressional offices, everyone pretty much had their heads down hoping that this too shall pass and we can, you know, go back to another Paul Ryan, Nikki Haley ticket. And so, you know, we created American Compass really to be a flagship for all the nascent efforts to define something new and better and chart a course forward beyond Trump into a conservatism that would address what I think are the very serious problems we have in this country. And so I guess that's who the new conservatives are. I think the new conservatives are almost entirely drawn from within that old existing right of center coalition. But I would say they're the segment that were genuinely conservative, you know, not as obsessed with the kind of free market libertarian economics, not as obsessed with the, you know, neoconservative desire to go out and find wars to start, but really focused on these questions of family, of community, of industry, of how do you, you know, create great environments to raise kids who are going to grow up to be productive citizens. How do you preserve a strong nation that can serve our own interests and advance what we see as human flourishing and the good life for our citizens? And so I think, you know, that has become obviously an increasingly prominent segment in the right of center. And so we wanted to bring together a lot of the best work they've been doing and sort of show how it fits together and what it would mean for a policy agenda, but also for a vision of America.
The book, The New Conservatives, is a collection of essays broken into different sections: markets, the state, labor, capital, China, industrial policy. We'll cover as many as we can in the time we have together. But the big question it tries to answer in some ways is, where did the right of center go wrong in its thinking about markets and capitalism? And you present that question in the introduction to the book. The details of that will follow in our conversation, but let me begin by asking about the evidence. How do we know, or how do you know, that the right of center did go wrong in those areas?
Well, I guess there's sort of the empirical question of did America go wrong? Have we succeeded in what we wanted to accomplish, or do we have real and deepening challenges? And then if yes, if we've gone wrong, what was the contribution of right of center policy to it? I think unquestionably we have gone wrong. I think, you know, there are some measures that look very good. If what you're concerned about is GDP, if what you're concerned about is kind of material living standards, and I certainly think those things are important, we should say we've done very well on those fronts. I think we have more stuff than ever, and that goes for pretty much everybody. I mean, anywhere you look on the socioeconomic spectrum, even down to those who are most struggling, you know, they are certainly likely to have a larger house or apartment, to have more appliances, to have air conditioning, to have a bigger television, to have a car with more gadgets in it, right? And so that's not nothing, but I think if you look beyond that to other things that we care about, and that especially that conservatives have always emphasized in terms of, you know, the strength and health of our communities, the formation of families, the kinds of economic opportunities that people have to really build decent lives and achieve self-sufficiency and support themselves and their families. On those fronts, I think we've seen a very sharp erosion of well-being. And then, you know, if you think of that as kind of the micro level, then also if you go up to the macro level and look at what's happened to the national economy, I think you see a very dangerous erosion in, you know, we've seen investment steadily declining. We've seen certainly less productive deployment of that investment to actually kind of building new things. We've seen real slowdowns in productivity growth. We've seen, obviously, the hollowing out of manufacturing, the offshoring to China, and all of that is now built up also to even real slowdowns in our ability to lead on science and technology and so forth. And certainly I think it's safe to say at this point that the kind of era of American hegemony is over. We're going to have to rethink our role in the world too. And so, you know, the problem, the right of center in all of this is I think our enthusiasm for free markets, and to be clear, I love free markets too. We certainly need to have a market economy, but I think we tipped over into a sort of blind faith in markets and just an assumption that, you know, whatever markets were delivering would be good, would be the best possible outcome, and that all government needed to do was get out of the way. And I think we've seen that there are actually a lot of ways that, you know, what we are seeing now, there are a lot of ways that markets can go wrong. If the most profitable thing to do is to move production to China, that's what people will do. What that means for jobs and American workers won't get considered. If the highest return on investment comes from starting a hedge fund and speculating, that's what people will do. They won't go out and build new businesses at all. And, you know, in all of these different ways, I think we've just seen that. And again, I think this is exactly the way conservatives should think about it. You know, markets actually need constraints. Markets need supporting institutions. And what I think the new conservatives are really bringing back to that discussion in such an important way is focusing on those things, saying, no, we do have a responsibility, whether just as citizens, as policymakers, as statesmen, to actually think about that and figure out how we can get markets actually serving the common good.
Much more to talk about with Orrin Kass. He's the chief economist at American Compass and also editor of the new book, The New Conservatives, Restoring America's Commitment to Family, Community, and Industry. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
I'm here today with my insurance agent of about 12 years, Kevin Wall from Allstate. He's located at 2861 Churn Creek Road. Now, Kevin, what is it that has made you such a successful insurance office for, what, almost 30 years?
Yes, actually, 28 years, June 1st. And the fact that we genuinely care about our clients and want to do what's best to make sure we take care of their insurance needs.
I remember when my daughter had her accident, and Allstate and your office was right there to help with the claims process.
As I mentioned, we have great staff and customer service. We really do go the extra mile. And with Allstate, if you qualify for the California Good Driver discount, you can most likely get started with as low as 1 month down.
Now, do people have to wait until their renewal to get started?
No, absolutely not. Whether your policy is coming up for renewal now or if you're midterm, it really doesn't matter. We can usually get you covered within about 15 minutes from when you call. Whether it's auto, home, or anything else that needs insured, if you just give us a call or text us, we'd be glad to help you. 530-222-2306.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. You can find everything at podcast.hillsdale.edu. Great Hillsdale programs like Imprimis, The Larry Arnn Show, the Hillsdale College Online Courses Podcast, and older episodes of this show, podcast.hillsdale.edu. You also can subscribe and find those shows at your favorite place to listen to audio, including YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe for new episodes. Orrin Cass is with us, the book The New Conservatives, Restoring America's Commitment to Family, Community, and Industry. Orrin writes a number of essays through the book, including both in the chapter on the market. And reading those essays, Orrin, I was curious about the idea of the economic idea of creative destruction. Does it exist in the traditional understanding for the new conservatives and the way they think about the market?
Oh, absolutely. I think creative destruction is incredibly important. But I think what we have to recognize and what's maybe been missing is that it has to be one side of a coin. Creative construction has to be the other side of it. And, you know, I think the best way to think about this is to go all the way back to the example of agriculture, because what you'll hear people say sometimes is, you know, if someone is concerned about, you know, losing all the manufacturing jobs, let's say, they'll say, oh, well, you know, we lost all the agricultural jobs. You wouldn't want everybody to go back and be working on farms. And that's absolutely true. But it's important to recognize that as we were, you know, mechanizing agriculture, as we were industrializing, it wasn't just a matter of eliminating all the farm jobs and telling everybody to just stay home and you know, we'll send you a check from the government. It was a process where as quickly as we were mechanizing agriculture, we were building a new industrial economy. We were creating new and better opportunities for people. And what I think has gone wrong in recent decades is that the creative destruction has not been accompanied by the creative construction. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of profit to be made in certainly finding ways to reduce costs and boost efficiency, but there was not nearly as much money to be made in going out there and building new businesses, finding new and more productive ways for people to do things. And so if you only get one side of it, if you get an economy that is generating profits for people through creative destruction, but not actually creating new and better opportunities as part of that process, I think you can get a situation where some of the economic data will look very good, but the actual economy as experienced by people, the opportunities for the typical worker and his family don't necessarily improve at all.
A chapter on the state talks about government involvement in markets, and that can make some conservatives really, you know, start to break out and itch. You say, if we want the market to serve well the needs of the American people, we must first recover the tools necessary to shape it. What are those tools available and, in your mind, necessary to shape the economy toward an end?
Well, let me start by saying if this discussion sort of, you know, causes you to break out in hives, it's it's worth rethinking your conservatism, because conservatism as it traditionally existed, as it certainly exists in the American tradition all the way up until the late 20th century, absolutely recognized a substantial role for government in shaping the economy. I mean, people go all the way back to, you know, Alexander Hamilton, of course, and his report on manufacturers and belief in protecting domestic industry. But it's fair to ask, you know, Hamilton wasn't necessarily a conservative, but we had the entire what was called the American system of the early 19th century. It was well understood that this new nation, as it developed, was going to need, you know, everything from obviously the debates about a national bank to intensive investment in infrastructure to tariffs to protect the domestic market and encourage the development of industry. And you know, we did the land grant colleges. Obviously, we did antitrust to address the concentration of economic power. It was always accepted that, you know, free markets and capitalism did not mean laissez-faire and libertarianism. And you see that from the other side, which is that the people who did promote this very libertarian view, you know, Friedrich Hayek is a great example. I think Friedrich Hayek was a phenomenally important economist, but he sure as heck wasn't a conservative. In fact, arguably his most famous essay is titled, Why I Am Not a Conservative. And so, you know, even Ronald Reagan, I mean, took aggressively protectionist measures against Japan. You know, most people don't know this. His famous line about, you know, the nine most terrifying words are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, was actually delivered at the start of a press conference proudly announcing unprecedented assistance to the agricultural industry. And so, there was obviously always a rhetoric of skepticism about government, and I think skepticism about government is very important. But somehow only pretty recently did that tip into this sort of blind commitment to believing that government shouldn't do anything and should just get out of the way.
Talking with Orrin Cass, he's the editor of the new book, The New Conservatives, Restoring America's Commitment to Family, Community, and Industry. How does the book, how does American Compass think about what markets are for, and also what do you think markets can't do naturally?
Going all the way back to the title of the book, you know, we talk about those ideas of restoring the commitment to to family, community, and industry, markets aren't going to care at all about family, community, or industry. If it happens to be profitable, they will, but that's not what markets do. And so if we care as conservatives, as Americans, about family, community, and industry, then we are going to have to think about the kinds of constraints that we put on markets, the kinds of institutions supporting markets that make sure that those priorities do get taken care of. And so that's where, you know, you're kind of then listing all those other chapters in the book, you know, globalization and trade, mm-hmm. and how we think about, you know, actually caring about manufacturing things here is a great example of a place where obviously government has lots of tools at its disposal and needs to use them. You know, immigration policy, who do we admit to the country and allow to participate in the economy, that has huge implications. You know, one area that got lost and the new conservatives are very interested in is labor. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that worker power, that worker organizing is a good thing. We should want workers to have power. We should want them to be able to negotiate on a level playing field with employers and to advance their own interests in a way that an individual worker, you know, almost surely cannot. Mm-hmm. And again, that's something literally that's something Adam Smith wrote about. The lone worker is at an extraordinary disadvantage. You know, John Stuart Mill, even the very libertarian, wrote about, you know, wanting to ensure that workers were able to join together and advance their own interests against employers and capital. And so, you know, all of these things, I think one thing you see very quickly in the book also is that doesn't mean like that the Democrats are right. I mean, mm-hmm. I think there are some good ideas, obviously, all over the political spectrum. But working from the set of assumptions and priorities that you see in the left of center, I think they land on a lot of very bad policies in a lot of these areas. But for conservatives, the response can't just be, well, let's not do anything, and let's also deny there's a problem at all, because if we admit there's a problem, we're going to have to do something. Mm-hmm. Let's actually sort of open our eyes and recognize what has gone wrong, what it has done to the fabric of this country, and ask starting from conservative principles, how would you start to build responses that get us going back in the right direction?
A few more minutes with Orrin Cass coming up next. He's editor of the book, The New Conservatives, Restoring America's Commitment to Family, Community, and Industry. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hey, this is Pat Karch. This year, I'm the top Italian for Paisano Days 2025. Join us at Paisano Days. It's a great, fun-filled 2 days. Bocce. Yep, Bocce live. spaghetti dinner, and all kinds of great Italian sausages, hot dogs, cannoli, ice cream, beer, and wine. For 2 days, join us down at South City Park on Friday, September 12th and Saturday, September 13th. For more information, call me at 530-510-1903. Paisano Days.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. We've been going in-depth in the new book, The New Conservatives, Restoring America's Commitment to Family, Community, and Industry. Orrin Cass is the editor. He's also the founder and chief economist at American Compass. More at AmericanCompass.org. Orrin, I'm going to jump ahead a bit because you talked about labor unions. And in that section of the book, I was struck by the way you discussed the dysfunction of current labor unions, and I wondered if labor unions were working efficiently and effectively, would more conservatives like or even love the concept of labor unions?
Yeah, I think, and I like the way you said concept of labor unions, because, yeah, I think a lot of conservatives, and you're seeing increasingly conservatives be much more interested in wanting to have well-functioning labor unions. You know, when you think about what the options are, I think it's important to recognize, you know, if you don't have worker power, if you don't have workers able to advocate for themselves, you end up with much more inequality, and then you end up needing much more redistribution. And so I think conservatives would much prefer worker power that generates better outcomes in the market than needing government to come in and clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
I think you see the same thing in the workplace. You know, if you want workplaces to be operated in ways that are protective of workers, you need workers to have power in the workplace. The alternative is not just sort of employers treating everybody however they want. The alternative is a lot more government regulation. So I think we should absolutely prefer workers having the ability to sort of play a role in managing the workplace rather than needing government to do that. And then I think also in civil society, you know, obviously conservatives care a great deal about the social fabric, the strength of so-called mediating institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And we're often sort of stuck where you can say, you know, it'd be great if more people went to church, but there probably aren't a whole lot of policies that could or you would want to have determining whether people go to church. But the labor union worker organizations are an incredibly important part of the social fabric, and that's a place where policy makes a huge difference. So, you know, I think where the American labor movement really sort of went off the rails was more than anything in how politicized it has become. And what we note is that especially to the extent that unions are behaving as political organizations, that duty should attach to their politics as well. And if unions had to actually behave in politics in a way that represented workers, and, you know, union workers are not at all skewed toward the Democratic Party at this point,
mm-hmm.
then I think that could do a great deal of good. So those are the kinds of reforms that we're really interested in. Let's not just sort of cheer on the demise of labor or even try to hasten its demise. Let's recognize what it can do well and think about ways that can actually get it doing those things well again. I think that's really substantively important for the health of our economy. And frankly, I think it's very good politics for conservatives too.
On the topic of family, Orrin, you write that an emphasis merely on advancing freedom will harm its own cause if it undermines the family in the process. And I think you also make the point that conservatives are very quick to identify when a policy from the left, a policy from liberals, might be harmful to the family, if there are consequences to government policy. So what perhaps can the hand of government do when it comes to family and strengthening family that even culture can't do?
Well, I think there are some direct tools and some more indirect ones. You know, I think a lot of the stuff we've just been talking about in indirect terms is really important to helping the family. You know, the market is not in many ways the family's friend. And this is something that, again, for a long time, conservatives, going back centuries have noted that, you know, market forces, the push for efficiency and profit is very likely to erode a lot of the incentives, the institutions that are so necessary to healthy families. And then on the other side, you know, good jobs that allow people to support families are incredibly important to families forming in the first place. And I think, you know, there's been very good research showing that, you know, as we've especially allowed kind of the erosion of good blue collar jobs for especially younger men without college degrees, that connects then directly to decline in marriages, decline in stability in marriages that do happen, decline in stable environments for raising kids. So I think recognizing that the economic choices that we make and the constraints we put in markets and that some market outcomes are better than others is incredibly important to supporting the family. And then I think there are some things we need to do directly. I think, you know, we basically have just a kind of fact of life problem that in economic terms, in the modern world, raising a family has gotten a lot harder in a lot of ways. We ask people to essentially take on additional costs and reduce their earning potential simultaneously. At a moment, you know, still very early in their lives when it's not something they can necessarily have saved for. And so I think in a sense, the way that conservatives should think about it is a lot the way that we think about Social Security. You know, the concept of social insurance, the concept of recognizing, you know, really important values and priorities that the market is not going to provide for, but that we collectively can choose to provide for, that is something government can do, where we can all contribute to supporting particularly important functions. And whether that's, you know, ensuring that our elderly in retirement are not in poverty, or ensuring that young people, you know, who are working or trying to support themselves but face that crunch, helping them to make ends meet. I think those are exactly the kinds of things conservatives should want government to do. And so, you know, we've proposed American Compass. It's in the book. This idea of basically a family benefit. Mm-hmm. It's not a kind of blank check to everybody. But for families that are working, that are trying to support themselves, making sure that they're receiving essentially additional support from the public each year based on how many young kids they're raising. And then in effect, that's something they're going to pay back later in life as they pay taxes for the next generation raising families. I think that's the sort of thing that conservatives, again, not, you know, free market libertarian, absolutists aren't going to support that, but that's not conservatism. And I think that's exactly the sort of thing conservatives, should be figuring out.
Oren Katz, if I can ask one more question, going back in the book to the labor chapter, and there's so much discussion about this now in President Trump's second term. As I read through that essay, there's so much discussion about immigration policy when it comes to the American workforce. And I wonder, is that question of immigration policy, the question of work visas, is that the largest input variable into the workforce and how the American worker eventually is treated by employers and business?
I wouldn't say it's the largest one, but I think it's definitely a significant one. And I think it's significant both in the specific sense that, you know, if you add millions of new workers and many of them aren't even here legally and they're easily exploitable, and they are willing to take jobs in worse conditions at lower wages, that is quite obviously going to affect the opportunities that American workers are going to have. But I also think there's a broader sense in which, and Vice President Vance has spoken about this very well, the idea of sort of an addiction to cheap labor, that we have built a culture around our economy that says cheap labor is a good thing. I remember I was debating Steve Moore, I was a member of the Wall Street Journal editorial board, founder of the Club for Growth, and we were debating immigration and wages, and we really got to the nub of the issue where, I said, well, look, sure, if you keep wages down, you can get higher profits, and that's going to lead to a booming stock market, but that's not the right formula. And he said, cheap wages leads to a booming stock market. That benefits everyone. That really was the Republican Party position and the sort of Wall Street Journal position, for some it still is, that cheap labor leading to a booming stock market, leading to cheaper consumer stuff, that's what success looks like. And we shouldn't be surprised that if that is how people are thinking, if that's what we are promoting, we in fact end up with an economy that does not work for workers. And as a fact, does not support healthy families, communities, industry, or a healthy nation. Mm. And so I think changing that psychology, recognizing that actually good jobs that pay high wages, that's an output of the economy. That's one of the things we need our markets to do, can be very powerful in helping us think about, okay, therefore, what kinds of policies do we need if we want our markets to do that?
Orrin Cass is chief economist at American Compass, AmericanCompass.org, also Commonplace.org. You can find him on X at Orrin_Cass. And the book is The New Conservatives, Restoring America's Commitment to Family, Community, and Industry. Orrin, thanks so much for joining us on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Victor Davis Hanson and his commencement address at Hillsdale College this year in May of 2025. Also, Orrin Cass, editor of The New Conservatives, Restoring America's Commitment to Family, Community, and Industry. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
When the North State weather takes its toll on your roof, trust the experts who know the best. Hunter Roofing has been protecting homes and businesses throughout the North Valley for over 70 years. Our certified team delivers quality workmanship using premium materials built to withstand our hot summers and wet winters. Free estimates, competitive pricing, and a commitment to excellence that's made us Redding's most trusted roofing company. Continuing our legacy of craftsmanship and reliability, Hunter Roofing. Call us at 530-999-5622. 530-999-5622.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, Your Talk Radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, Your Talk Radio.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State. because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.